I think it's safe to say we all know about road construction. Always in the worst time and in the worst place. But there was one particular stretch of road that was always infamous for me back when I was in seminary, traveling in Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh has over 80 bridges and lots of mountains. And there was one particular stretch of road where the mountain literally loved to fall into the road. So I had to check every morning to make sure that I could actually drive upon the road, because the road, I kid you not, was always full of rocks that had broken off and covered not just my lane, but all of the lanes. Now, they finally got wise and said, if we close it for a month and blow up half of the mountain, then it can never, ever fall again onto the road. Well, that was all well and good, except for the month that I had to take the long way round to get to seminary. But they had dynamite crews that blew up half the road to make it straight. They had crews who then had to shovel all the rock that they had broken off to make it clear. They made it level and flat and even put up a net to catch any further rocks from falling onto the road. And it was always, always, always right when I needed to take that road to go to seminary. Well, this idea of taking a road that was full of rubble and clearing it, or a crooked road and making it straight, or taking a mountain and making it flat and filling in the valleys and making them level, are exactly what Isaiah is talking about in our text this morning. He is talking about somebody in the desert preparing the highway for God to travel upon. A literal road in the desert, in the Arabah, in the Arabic desert, that God might tread upon and come back to Jerusalem. Through the wilderness, back to the holy city. A time when God was no longer going to reject his people, but a time when God would personally visit his people, a royal visit to reveal God's glory, so that all flesh might see God. And so Isaiah was tasked with the job of literally paving a road in the wilderness that God might come back to his people. I am talking about a time when Israel had been exiled into Babylon, having been carted off, watching their city destroyed, having been taken into chains and forcibly moved to a different land. Well, I can't help but wonder, have you ever been in a time of exile? Isaiah describes it as a time when grass browns and when flowers droop. I wonder if you have ever had a time when you felt dried out. Whether it be no more passion for life, no more time, no more energy, when things go wrong or bad, whether it be careers or sicknesses or injuries, has there never, ever been a time when you have felt like brown grass? Or maybe even like a droopy flower that needs to be watered, carrying the weight of too many burdens on your shoulders, and you start to literally droop over in body, in mind, and in spirit. That was exactly the words of the people back to Isaiah. How are we supposed to cry out when all people are like brown grass and droopy flowers? The people, a people in exile, calling out to God through the prophet, Lord, we just ain't got it any more. I wonder if we, as individuals and as a community, might not just be in an exile of our own. But the good news for them is the good news for us. God, traveling upon God's highway, is not coming to destroy, coming to judge, coming to kill. We are told that God comes to bring peace, to water the dry grass and the droopy flowers, to renew and refresh. Perhaps that is why John is in our deserts, in our exiles, telling us to get ready for the one who is coming after him. Because he might be building the spiritual road, preparing the way for Jesus, but Jesus comes to water us with the Holy Spirit. John holds Jesus out and says, "Behold, here is your God, the Lamb of God, come to take away sins, the shepherd of the people, the one who will gather all into his arms to pasture them in green pastures beside mighty streams of righteousness." John says, this is the one who will refresh, who will restore, who will water the dry grass and the droopy flowers. All of his lambs who are nursing, here is the good shepherd to tend to you. We might be the dry grass and the wilted flowers, but the good news is Jesus comes to water, not to set fire. To give what we thirst for in the deepest parts of our souls and our spirits. To lift our sagging frames when we carry too heavy the burdens and the weights of this world. When it just becomes tough to live. This is the one who waters and pastures us. This was why John came, to prepare a spiritual road for us. And on the second Sunday of Advent, we speak his words to remind us that we are the dry grass and the droopy flowers that need Jesus. So John is still telling us, hey, you, get ready, because Jesus is on his way. Get ready and prepare yourselves for the one who will bring peace and nourishment, who will forgive sins and shelter his people. So John is still telling us this morning, and it is my privilege to say unto you, comfort, comfort my people. Tell my daughter Jerusalem that her warfare is over, that her penalty is paid in full, because God comes not to smite, but to save. Not to judge, but in fact, Jesus is judged. Not to bring war, but to bring peace. If this is the one who is coming to us, the peace bringer of God, then John tells us to get ready. And more specifically, he tells us that in order to get ready, you and I must repent. Now, that is a word that has been thrown around for 2,000 years, but it literally means to turn around, to turn away from the things which are not God, and to turn towards God, to prepare ourselves for God, to nurture our hearts and our minds, to return to God because God is returning to us. John tells us there is one who is coming, and to prepare ourselves, we must return and repent to the one coming towards us. But he also tells us that in order to truly repent, we must believe. We must believe that our iniquities are covered by his blood. We must believe that he comes in meekness, not ashamed to be laid in a water trough instead of a crib, laid in strips of cloth, born in a stable. If this is our Messiah, he is not here to smite us. But it means that we believe he is here to save, to deliver, to water, and to pasture his people. So, my friends, John is still telling us to prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus, to turn away from the world, from our iniquities, from our ways of wickedness, and our sins, to turn away from all of those things, and to turn our hearts, our minds, and our lives back to God. But it most importantly means that we believe and yield to the King of Kings, who comes to save with his own blood and his own life, to yield ourselves as the shepherds yielded, as the people in the River Jordan yielded, that our sins might be forgiven and our lives might become new. So, my friends, I speak comfort to you. I speak comfort to you because your warfare is over. Your penalty has been paid in full. No longer are we against God. Because of God, we are now for God. So if I speak comfort to you, you repent and believe in God, and you will find God's highway already prepared and waiting for his arrival. Not Route 20 or Route 90, but a pathway in the desert of our exile, that we might be renewed and refreshed by the renewal of God's Holy Spirit. And you will find that we are no longer in our deserts. You will find that at long last, because of Jesus Christ, we are in the kingdom of God. So I speak comfort to you. You repent and believe in him. Amen.